It's 2:05 p.m. and this is Around the Table live from the City of Gastronomy. You are tuned in to AM 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. 520-790-2040 is our telephone number. In this hour, the maestro is going to be joining us. Ah, I am so excited. I am such a huge fan of the Tucson. Well, I'm a really big fan of the Tucson Pops. My good friend Dave Sitton, to whom I owe my broadcasting career. He got me started in broadcasting many years ago. He was passionately devoted to the Tucson Pops, and as a way to stay connected with him, it was always part of my world as well. And it's thrilling to get a chance to introduce a new population of friends to the music of the Tucson Pops. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. We've got our friends from Spirit's Kitchen in the studio with us. We have transformed the radio studio into our personal kitchen. Got a little toast, got a little jam. Everybody's got water. Oh, wait, you don't have one. You got your water. Okay, everybody's got something. I've got my coffee. We talk about having coffee around the table. And it's really delightful to share this time with you. Every day we invite the most interesting and influential tastemakers, newsmakers, style makers, movers and shakers, foodies and friends, healers and helpers to this table. We save the seat at the head of the table for you. You're our guest of honor. And I'm telling you, this is going to be the most fun hour of the week. Although it's really fun when we start off with Ramon Valavez at the beginning of the week, because he's the most positive guy I know, and he's really changed a lot of things in a lot of people's lives for the better. But we are here today with our good friends, including the Vintage Oracle, who is so glamorously done up.
Thank you.
I love your do today. Rihanna, welcome. I can't even say, I don't even know what to describe this as. You have a bit of an updo, but then you have one of those fantastic 1940s yes. style. What's that called?
Barrel rolls or victory rolls, but today I have it with the headscarf and just a barrel roll. Yeah.
You are so beautiful today.
Oh, thank you.
But you're blushing. Beautiful every day.
I'm blushing.
And Michelle Cardenas from Brightway Wellness joins us.
Hello, Jennifer.
Thank you for everybody. Our radio. And we're going to do another session of Radio Reiki towards the end of the hour.
Great.
So stay tuned. And if you want to know more about Reiki, if you want to know more about the healing, because Tucson is a very healing place. We have health tourism. People come from all over the world for the medical expertise. We have research. We have facilities. I mean, people are being drawn to this region as they have been for 4,000 years for healing. And it's part of the reason why the UNESCO City of Gastronomy recognizes that we have this long legacy. People didn't just come here to eat. Food was always our first medicine. And so you can't talk about the 4,000-year history of this region and cultivating food without talking about the fact that you were also cultivating our first medicines, our nourishment, our physical wellness, our health, and our healing.
Correct. I mean, there's scientific research saying that mom's chicken soup is the best thing when you're not feeling good. It is healing.
It is healing. And all of this is a natural kind of healing, which leads us to bring Jeff in. Jeffrey Green is here as one of the writers and editors at Natural Awakenings magazine. He joins us now. And his expertise is in other things we cultivate. Jeffrey, welcome.
Hi, Jennifer.
And you're a Reiki healer as well, so thank you for joining in all this.
My pleasure.
Talk a little bit about your journalism beat at Natural Awakenings.
Well, about 8 months ago, Natural Awakenings debuted a plant medicine section. And I thought it was necessary to do that. It was my brainchild. I wanted our readers and everyone to realize that, you know, pharmaceutical drugs, they are helping, but they're not solving the problems. And everything natural, food, aromatherapy, topicals, all things natural can help actually get to the base of the problem. And it can actually help to cure the problem and not just mask symptoms. One thing about pharmaceuticals is you may take a pill for high blood pressure, And then 2 months down the road, you discover that you need to take another medication to offset the side effects from the original medication. The best thing about natural medicine is that there are no side effects. There are no drug hangovers or anything like that. It's just from our Mother Earth. And, you know, she has the biggest and best stocked medicine cabinet that anyone has ever seen.
And in this region, I know that Natural Awakenings is published widely in different cities representing different regions. Talk a little bit for us about this region and how powerfully, positively, this place is a healing place.
Well, you know, for so very long in our history, Native Americans inhabited this land. And I think they were some of the very first people on the planet to recognize the medicine that is in nature. And I think that that energy and using that energy from our geographic area has drawn people in to this area for thousands of years. People seek the desert. They seek solitude. They seek to be closer to Mother Earth. And I think this is the place.
We also believe, and well, we don't believe, we know. We just know because we feel, we understand that of these wonderful vibrations that come from this place that draw us for the recalibration of our own energy, that we can turn to things like music and the very powerful, positive, healing, nurturing vibrations that come from music being made in our presence. Live music, there is no substitute for this. I mean, last night I was at the Dusty Monk listening to extraordinarily gifted people sing an array of music that was as powerful and professional as anything I've heard on Broadway or Broadway in Tucson. And the music of this place doesn't sound like music every other place. And so that's why we are thrilled that the Tucson Pops season is kicking off this weekend. We got rained out last week. We're not getting rained out this week. We are thrilled to have Maestro Laszlo Virasch on the show, welcoming him back. Shall we try again, Maestro?
Yes, I'm here.
Wow. Well, what an exciting storm we had last week that put a premature end to the start of the season. So we get to actually start the season again anew, afresh this weekend. Will you talk a little bit about this season's Tucson Pops?
Yes, of course. Of course, you know, there is always a first time. I've been associated with the Pops since 1992, and this is the very first time we got rained out on Mother's Day.
It's
always a first.
Well, it's just that kind of year. I was talking in the lead up to our conversation today about our mutual, very dear friend, Dave Sitton, who was one of the stalwart and most passionate supporters and cheerleaders for the Tucson Pops. He's the gentleman who got me started in my broadcast career. So I have a very, very, very special spot in my heart for the Tucson Pops. I know he was important in your world too. And he was always keen on opening day. Would you talk a little bit about what our opening day for Tucson Pops is going to look like this year on this Sunday and where it is?
Well, for this Sunday, okay. We are going to open with a march called the Tucson March. There's a composer by the name of Mark Wolfram who was in Hollywood with his wife for many, many years, writing music for movies and all that, and decided to come to Tucson about, I know, 10 years ago, start coming to my concerts, and he liked what I was doing. Anyway, one day I asked, I said, you know, Mark, I know that New York City has a march and Boston Pops has a march. Tucson doesn't have a march. Would you be interested? He jumped on it. A week later, I had a march in my hand called the Tucson March. So we are going to open up with that one.
That's wonderful.
And then probably you know that we have guest conductors to eventually replace me as I'm slowly retiring. He's going to take over the rest of the first half, and he's going to open up with Copland's Fanfare to the Common Man, music from Star Wars, Colonel Boogie March, and all that. And then after intermission, I will take over, And we open up with a waltz by the Russian composer Shostakovich, easy listening. You can just move to it to the left and the right. And then the Arizona Balalaika Orchestra will come on stage in their beautiful costumes and play some selections. And finally, we'll end up with a big band type music, swing music. And that will be the concert for this Sunday.
That's fantastic.
Lots of variety.
It's lots of variety. One of my favorite pieces, of course, but I'm not alone in this, the Copland Fanfare for the Common Man.
Okay.
It's a lovely piece, but I have to say, I don't know that I've ever heard the Tucson March. So
No, you didn't. Unless you were at the concert last year in the fall.
Nope.
We premiered it.
So this is one of the rare instances to get to hear this brand new piece of music that has commissioned and created here in Tucson, specifically for the Tucson Pops.
It was written especially for me and the Tucson Pops and the Arizona Symphony Queens. And another thing, my wife and I, we asked Mark, actually we just commissioned, I said, Mark, this is the Tucson Pops' 65th anniversary. I would like to commission something for the Pops. And he came up with Pops on Parade. And I'm going to insert it somewhere on this concert. It was supposed to be played last week. But that's a world premiere.
A world premiere. That's exciting.
Pops on Parade, dedicated to the Tucson Pops Orchestra.
Before
65th anniversary.
Let's tell everybody where the concerts are held and what time they start and how we can share the experience together.
Sunday nights, 7 p.m., Reed Park Outdoor Performance Center, which is right next to the zoo. And that's where we've been playing for many, many years, and that's where people should bring their lunches, blankets, picnics, although they have some food trucks over there. And they just bring the whole family, children, lots of children.
And this is all a free concert.
In the very back, and it's all free.
Maestro Laszlo Veresz, thank you so very much for coming and joining us and for helping us imagine how marvelous this weekend's Tucson Pops concert is going to be. I am inspired to come out. I'm bringing my picnic back. And by the way, I have a present for you. I commissioned for the Tucson Pops for you from mixologist Eric Harding from Elvira's Restaurant. We said, how could we pay tribute to the picnic people that will come out to the Tucson Pops concert? How can we pay tribute to the maestro? What could we create for the maestro and the people at this concert series?
Okay.
And so we did an entire show yesterday from Tucson Foodie, where we invited the most acclaimed culinarians, and I know that you have one in your own family.
Yes.
We said, what would you put in your picnic basket? And we had an array of people offering what goes in the picnic baskets of the foodie famous in Tucson. But we commissioned an original cocktail for you. And so,
oh,
Eric,
thank you.
It's our version of a liquid march. How's that?
Oh, hey, listen, I'm all for that one.
So Eric Harding created an original cocktail called the Tucson Pops Paloma. And
okay.
It is an agave spirit based cocktail that has grapefruit notes and a little smoky salt, and it was delicious. And when we bring one for you and clink glasses, you will understand and hopefully be moved as we will be moved by the world debut of the Pops on Parade and the playing of the Tucson March. How do you like that?
That sounds good to me.
All right. Maestro, thank you so much.
Well, maybe we can talk again next week and I'll tell you what's going to happen next week.
I hope you will. I'm counting on it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maestro. We're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, more Around the Table live from the City of Gastronomy, AM 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, where the local news is the local talk and the local talk is the local news. We'll be right back. 2:23 p.m. and it's time for lunch. A nice late lunch on a Friday. AM 1030, The Voice, your trusted source for local news and talk. This is Around the Table, live from the City of Gastronomy, where each and every Friday we are gathering together with three of the most exceptional healers and friends that this community has, who will come together and join us in this little place that we're transforming into our kitchen. And this is our Spirit's Kitchen each and every Friday, where we come together and we bring the two worlds, the duality of the here and the now, the past, the present, the future, the us right now here in this world, both here and there. I'm trying to think of all the ways everywhere to say this, guys. You've got better words than I do. Because here's the thing, right? Like, I'm the foodie person. I got the foodie piece covered. You've got the spirituality piece, the healing piece, the energy piece, the love piece. You've got those bits covered. We've got the Vintage Oracle with us.
Hello.
We're thrilled that you're here. I have to tell you, you really buoyed my spirits today, coming in as glamorously.
Thank you.
I mean, you've honored us and shown us such a respect for this.
Thank you.
Looking so glamorous. And I want to say thank you for making time to be here with us. We would like to explain to people who the Vintage Oracle is and what the how did that concept come about for you? Because you do have a very vintage look. Is it all designed? Did the vintage come first? The visions come first? How did the Vintage Oracle happen?
Well, actually, no. The whole tarot reading healer part of it came first, but during that, I've always had a fascination with vintage style, especially the 1940s hairstyle, and dress and all of that. And so originally,
and it suits you.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Originally, my tarot business was called Soul Tarot, S-O-L, because here we are in sunny Arizona, and I loved it, and it was great. But I wanted to marry the two, my love of vintage with my love of the cards and this other aspect. So I wanted to put them together, and the Vintage Oracle was born.
How did you discover that you have this gift?
It's been a very long time in the making. It started when I was a little girl. I just thought I was weird. I was very uncomfortable in my own skin. I had friends and I had a great family and nothing wrong growing up, but I felt funny inside. And took many years until recently, it was actually around 2015, that I learned that I wasn't weird, that I had a gift, and I learned the tools to be able to express my gift. I was living in Spokane, Washington, and strange things were happening around me in my house. And later did I learn that that was a location of a very tragic event, a murder-suicide. And I'm sorry, it was very traumatic for me, living there with my kids. Anyway, it was through finding that out that I got in touch with a medium, and I did not believe in mediums, but I was desperate and scared and reaching out to all my friends, and somebody turned me in the direction of a medium. And she came over and we talked about what was going on, and she connected some dots with some other events going on in the town with some other families. And that's how I learned all about tarot as a tool to help with the feelings I was feeling inside and the signs I was receiving from these energies around me and the situation I was in. And she explained that I was supposed to be there, that I was supposed to live in that house because I would be receptive to that energy and I would help that energy figure out what needed to happen next and resolve itself. And so at first I was a raw nerve. I didn't want to touch a deck of cards. I didn't want to read a book. I didn't want to live in that house. I didn't want to talk about anything. I was scared.
You're a mom and you have five kids and you're like, I don't want anything to happen to these kids.
Furniture was moving. Baby monitors were moving. My keys were getting hidden. My car wouldn't start. You know, really tangible things were going on. But we were about to move, and so that was a good thing. We moved to a completely other state. I had some time to heal and recover, gave birth to, was pregnant with the fifth baby, and practicing little bits in there, and then Now it is what it is. Now I can't imagine my life without it. Now I can look back and know that was a gift. That was absolutely a gift. It had to happen. I had to go through that. I'd experience all those scary things so that I can now help others, help myself, and appreciate what it is I have.
Here at the table with us in the kitchen, Michelle Cardenas is here and Jeffrey Green as well. Thank you all for being here and for, you know, coming to hang out with us and help us understand where all of this fits in a world that is transitioning from the world in which Rhiann, the Vintage Oracle, first was born, and those cultural influences that very subconsciously were making her feel kind of uncomfortable. Our goal here is to do nothing but help people. And when you tell that story, I bet there are a lot of people who have some version of this experience.
I'm sure there are.
Of reconciling self with here and now.
Yeah.
Why do you reckon, all of you, and I'll ask this broadly, why do you reckon that there's a gap between who we are in the true sense and who we are in the cultural sense? And that a gap can exist, and that maybe our journey is about closing that gap. I mean, that's how I, as a layperson, would describe it. But when I hear my friend describe living for much of her life with this sense that, you know, she was weird or something was wrong, how do we help people not feel that?
Jennifer, you know, I think this show is probably one of the first tiny baby steps that we can take to break down those barriers and to help people understand that they don't need to be afraid, mm-hmm. and that they're not strange or abnormal. And Rhiann, you know, that story that you just said, I'm wondering how many people out there, not just here in Tucson or in Arizona or in the United States, but I'm talking about around the world, how many people have had similar experiences and then just put that on the back burner. Oh, well, that couldn't have been real.
Rationalize it away.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's my imagination. Eventually, time after time after time after time, you know, it's going to get people to think a little bit deeper. And I think just us here, sitting around this table, having a cup of coffee and sharing these experiences is going to help. Our energy, our stories are going to spark that energy, and it's going to turn that light bulb on for a lot of people.
But there's a global thought at the moment that this is a period of time in which this is a massive shift that's taking place. This isn't, if this is the first time you're hearing about something like this, I respect that deeply, and I'm privileged to be part of this moment of inspiration, I hope. But talk a little bit about the fact that this is not just Tucson, although Tucson, it turns out, is one of these epicenters of this kind of awakening. Will you talk about it?
Well, something that I've experienced, and I know a lot of people experience, is that in our culture, we have a lot of religions that forbid us to be open about what we're experiencing because they're afraid of it, or that they think that it might be something that is not good for us. I know growing up myself in a Catholic home, and going to Catholic school, they would not let us even talk about tarot cards or talk about the paranormal. I'm sure they were aware of stuff that was going on, but that wasn't something that we were allowed to talk about in our daily life or do in our daily life. And like Rhiann, as a child, I felt very isolated and different from everyone else because I did have some experience as well. Not traumatic like hers. Mine were more subtle and, dare I say, fun-loving. I mean, I had like things disappear and come back and stuff like that. But we weren't allowed to talk about it. And it wasn't until very recently, I think for me, it was around 2010 that I decided, you know what, I am going to do what feels right for me. And then the following year, I found Reiki, and it just exploded into all kinds of wonderful since then. So I don't understand why there's a fear of Reiki or cards or things like that when it brings joy to us, when it helps, when it
heals.
It heals. Yeah. How, I think they're gifts from God. Why would we deny that? If yeah, you go ahead, Rianne.
You're
chomping at the bit.
I am because when we lived in Spokane, our son went to a Catholic high school, and he said he actually had to take a religions class, and he thought he was going to learn a lot of really cool things. And partly they did talk about the tarot and how awful and, you know, like devil worshiping and scary things. And he had a friend who couldn't even come to our house if there was a deck in our house. I mean, they're very afraid. I think when you're talking about, you know, that this is a good thing and why isn't it seen that way? I think some religions, it kind of takes the control factor away. And if we take control of our own healing and our own happiness and our own spirituality, it's threatening to, you know, some religious aspects. I had to speak recently to a friend of mine who is very religious, and I explained to her that in her language, we use the tarot to communicate with God. You know, that was the only way I could explain it to her, that it helps us connect with our higher power, you know, but I was trying to be respectful of the differences in the language that people use, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I want to take this moment and remind everybody, this is Around the Table. We're here each and every day from 1 to 3 p.m. with the most interesting and influential newsmakers, tastemakers, style makers, healers, helpers, foodies, and friends. We save the seat at the head of our table for our guest of honor. That's you. We would love to have you call. If you have any questions about any of this, 520-790-2040. The one thing we believe is that in this community, as in every community, the open conversation that occurs through which we become more informed is the place where we eliminate fear. Until you can have communication, there will be misunderstanding, there will be fear. You cannot grow from broken ground. You can only grow from common ground, and it is in reaching out to every dimension of our culture and our community that we create that common ground from which the future of this place will be growing. Together, we do that here, and we try with our friends to make that helpful healing moment occur. 520-790-2040 is our phone number. We're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, we will take your calls and questions. We have a lot going on today. And we're going to, well, Bob, have you got some music for me? Have you got any lovely day for me? What have we got? I love that. This is AM 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back. 2:41 p.m. and we're at the tail end of the lunch hour here at Around the Table, AM 1030 The Voice, coming to you live from the city of gastronomy. Trusted local news and talk. This is where the local news is the local talk, and the local talk is the local news. And we are wrapping this week up with a beautiful healing bow, sending you energy and love, and recognizing that this place on the planet is a really distinctive and unique one. And it is with every intention for every good thing for everyone that we are here each and every day with the most interesting and influential newsmakers, tastemakers, style makers, healers, movers, shakers, friends, and foodies, saving the seat at the head of our table for you, our guest of honor. And pull up a chair. Let's have a cup of coffee, although it's 5 o'clock somewhere. With me in the studio are our Spirits Kitchen crew. Michelle Cardenas from Brightway Wellness is here, and Jeffrey Green from Natural Awakenings Magazine is here, and Rianne, the Vintage Oracle, is here as well. Michelle, at the beginning of the show, you were talking about the fact that you have two events tomorrow. We've only talked about one. Let's talk about the other.
The other one is a free weight management hypnosis therapy that my colleague Rocio Castellanos will be doing this Saturday at 12:30 till approximately 2, maybe 1:30, depends on how long it takes. But she's going to explain and talk about how hypnosis self-hypnosis can help with weight management, but not just weight management, but emotional management. A lot of people eat their emotions through food, and she's going to help us sort of keep that under control, find out what our triggers are that cause us to eat the things that we really shouldn't eat rather than the healthy foods. And she's going to reframe our minds so that we will choose the healthier choices.
How common is it when people come to see you in your practice or in Rocio's practice that they come with a very specific issue? And how often is that one issue, and I'll open this up to all of you, how often is the one issue that we have that pushes us to finally take the step to seek some help really the issue we're addressing? Or is it sometimes just...
You know, I know where you're going with that question. Yes. More often than not, there is something at the root, and a lot of times they don't even know what it is. But through the consultation that I will do with them or Rocio will do with them, we sort of draw it out through questions that we'll ask about whatever their physical pain is, because a lot of times physical pain is really just dis-ease in the energetic body. So we'll dig through and find out what it is that really is bothering them at the root, and we'll work on that as well as the physical stuff too. But
I think a good adage for that would be, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, it may be just one tiny piece of straw that finally causes that poor camel to fall down, but all of those tiny little pieces have been adding up to that point. So one thing may bring them into seeking therapy or help or healing, but I think, like Michelle said, it's just, you know, an intricate web of so many different things.
And we don't even have to know what that is. I mean, if they don't want to talk about it, that's their prerogative with Reiki. It's an energy form that will go where it needs to go anyway, regardless of whether I know what it is or even the client knows what it is. But Reiki will break through those areas that need healing.
Reiki is a discipline which people use as a tool, like massage, like acupuncture. It's widely accepted. Most of the major institutions, hospitals, medical schools, it's recognized. It's not like, so I want you to all help me make a connection. There's a symbol. When you teach little kids, what's the link? When you have an idea about how something is linked one thing to the next, you make that symbol in the classroom and you go, I have a link I want to share with everybody. Help us make the links from everything we currently know and feel pretty comfortable with. And we're going to dive into the realm where you guys live in practice, where some people don't feel as comfortable. Let's make sure that people see the links that link the things we're comfortable with presently and the things that exist that they're growing to accept. I think that by giving them links or demonstrating or articulating the links, you can see how it just may be new to you, or it may be something you have a little discomfort with, but that doesn't make it less legitimate. Does that make sense as a strategy?
It absolutely does. In fact, I was a teacher in the classroom for many, many years. And one of my practices in order to help students move forward was to always attach some form of prior knowledge. So if we can build on something that people already know and then stem from that, it makes them a little more comfortable to take that step because they're already doing it with some previous knowledge.
Okay.
And with the energy work that I do, I tell my clients, this is not to replace Western medicine. They should continue seeing their doctors. They should continue using their medications. But what Reiki will do is it will supplement in that it will accelerate healing. It will enhance their vitamins, their medications to make them perform more efficiently and better for them. And it can't do any harm. There are no side effects to Reiki and some of the other healing modalities that I do that are very natural. And our goal is to, you know, get off the medications, not have to have the surgeries if you don't have to, if you can do it through some natural healing, which could include therapy, like physical therapy and Reiki or crystal therapy or BioTouch or whatever, you know, we call it complementary versus alternative because it's not in something that you're going to replace.
And I want to talk about the fact that as the layperson in all of this, I am taking the baby steps. I call it the and world. This and that, not right. This or that. And by using the word and, it's that inclusive word. It's you and me. It's this and that. It doesn't require us in this experience of duality, here and there, not here or there. Mm-hmm. Us and them, not us or them.
You know, I love that.
It's right. Very inclusive. And, you know, if I were really like a groovy podcaster, I might just call my podcast and. You know, but... go ahead.
I was just thinking about that too. From a layperson's view, like if I were explaining this to my mom or dad, who it might be really foreign to them, I would say it like this. You're laying down for an hour, getting loved on, good energy, relaxation. Your breathing slows, your heart rate slows. All of your body functions are relaxed and soothed. Nothing bad can come of that, only good. So if really that's all you took away from it, that's excellent. But we know as practitioners, more good is happening than that. But that is one way to kind of oversimplify and appeal to somebody else that maybe it's just an hour out of your day to relax and meditate quietly. Mm-hmm.
Well, we are going to take a very gentle pause in this conversation because one of our friends has knocked on the door. You know who's here with us? One of the women in this community who does amazing things. Yolanda Soto from Borderlands Produce has a program called Powwow that you introduced me to, Michelle.
I did.
And they knocked me out with the generosity and the spirit of sustainable. And I know that this is a program that is powerfully positive for so many people. Yolanda joins us now. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm sorry I'm a little late in calling in. Forgive me.
You do such amazing work. We're thrilled to have you join us. What's going on this weekend, and where is it going on, and what goodies do you have for people who really are out there waiting to hear?
Well, we're going to be only at three locations in Tucson area, and a couple locations in southern Arizona, Sierra Vista and Huachuca City. But we'll be at Most Holy Trinity Church, which is on Greasewood Road. We'll be at Pima Community College, downtown campus on Stone, and Vision Church, which is on Binet. The cross streets are Cortado Road and Silverbell. And we're going to have some great product. We have some orange bell peppers, Brussels sprouts, cucumbers, Euro and slicers, green beans, honeydew melons, mini peppers, acorn and spaghetti squash, and some fairy tale pumpkins, and some tomatoes on the vine, of course, and a little bit of Italian and yellow squash.
Yum.
So my mouth is watering
variety.
Now.
And you know what? We have a great recipe on our newsletter, which is a vegetarian stuffed acorn squash, which just sounds delicious.
Mm, yum. And we should tell people that this is by donation, but the suggested donation is you get 70 pounds of fresh produce for $12.
That is correct. 17 cents per pound. You can't beat it.
No, you can't. Can I tell you one of the things I did with the vegetables I got from you all last week?
Please do.
So one of the things I cooked this past week was I did an array of Ben Forbes sausage. He makes fantastic artisan sausage. And I did an array of the artisan sausage. And when I had the mesquite grill fired up, I took all those bell peppers. Now, you know where we're going with this. So I did these beautiful bell peppers. I did beautiful onions on the grill. They got a gentle char. They got a really smoky flavor. They softened. They were delicious. Then, to go with all that grilled goodness, where you get that bright flavor and the char and then this tang from the sausage, we made the cucumbers into a tzatziki.
Ooh.
But I didn't make an ordinary tzatziki. I used Mexican crema instead.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That
so I made like a Tucson tzatziki, and I used some of the Mexican herbs that we have here. I used some of the oregano. I used some of the mint. I used some of the cilantro. I used a bunch of the garlic, the Mexican crema, and then the sliced skinned cucumbers. It was so good.
And so healthy.
So healthy and so good.
Can I share what I made with the vegetables?
Yes.
Okay, so I roasted off the spaghetti squash. And just simply, after I shredded up the spaghetti squash, I put it in a pan with some pesto sauce. And it was amazing.
Oh, wow.
The other thing we did this week with the spaghetti squash is we cooked off some asparagus and used the smoked salmon from Trader Joe's. And so lots and lots, gobs of lemon. I made like a creamy lemon sauce, asparagus, smoked salmon, and spaghetti squash as the spaghetti.
Yum.
Oh, yummy.
You know.
We need those recipes for our newsletter.
I know.
Right.
I know. Well, you know, our Spirits Kitchen crew would be very happy to share those with you because you are so good about sharing all of your produce with everybody. Let's tell everyone what your website is.
It is Borderlands with an S. producerescue.org. And please go on it. And our summer program starts June 1st, June, July, and August. Not as many host sites, but we're still going to be around with lots of good organic product also.
Reminding everybody they can find the locations this week, including the Vision, it's the Vision Church on Cotero and Silver Bell?
Correct.
Fantastic. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Borderlands.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you, Borderlands Produce and the Pow Wow. All right, so we've got about 5 minutes left, and our friend, the Vintage Oracle, has gotten her cards, and she's taking us. What kind of weekend is in store?
I saw her shuffling and putting those out. I was like, I wonder what she's up to.
I know, right?
I was trying to hide it behind your computer.
So tell us what's going on. Well, I see a sunshine. Is that a good? I mean, how can that not be a good thing?
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. Well, this is funny because when I got here really early, actually, and sat out in the parking lot for too long, and I decided to pull one card, and I got this card. This card is the Six of Cups. So it's funny that I would get it again after all that shuffling. You saw all that shuffling. So the moon is all about our intuition and our subconscious, all the things that we're thinking about underneath, but we're not really saying. Sometimes it's about our feelings and we don't even have words to put with them. So we've got some of that. It's also, you were talking about duality. There's a lot of duality. Here's like that wild side of us, the little wolf versus our little tame doggy side. The sun and the moon. So there's a lot of subconscious stuff that's in the works.
What does that mean? Just so I can understand.
It means something different to everybody. So I don't know. Feelings inside you or thoughts inside you. I know I've got a lot of things in the works in me right now. We talked about
that. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, we're going to having a full moon this weekend. Well, and I know a lot of people who are highly agitated at the moment and they don't know why.
Well,
and
I'm like, well, the moon.
You know what's going on?
I was wondering what was going on because I've noticed that. I was like, it must be a full moon soon.
Yeah. The full moon is in 23 hours and 15 minutes. Oh, boy.
There we go. That explains
minutes.
A lot. So the Vintage Oracle just pulled the moon card.
All right.
But also, the Six of Cups is all about generosity, but it's also nostalgia, kind of like looking back on fond memories. But I take it more as generosity. So maybe just, you know, keep in mind that sometimes when you're in turmoil, like Jeffrey was saying the other day, sometimes we just have to think about giving and helping others out. And then lastly, the card, we get another six. So that's funny. The lovers. And it doesn't have to be like literal lovers. It could be any relationship we're in, any love relationship, cooperation, working together, like we're doing right here at Spirit's Kitchen. Mm-hmm.
But you want to, so can I give you something about this?
Please.
So for the three of us, three of you, three of me. So when I've been talking about how we can, because I'm a language person, I love words, I love language, communication is really important to me, being honest is really important to me, I think you can hear a smile. I think you can hear and tell when someone is being disingenuous with you. And we encounter that more and more and more and more because the currency of the popular moment in this culture seems to be alternative facts. So when you are living in a world where alternative facts are being put forward with more energy, more force, more threats, more intention, more power, one has to imagine, how do you encounter the moment when in your world you get this sense that alternative facts are about to crush you? And I thought about it long and hard. Just because someone is forcefully and reinforcingly taking these alternative facts and sending them out there, from whatever point of view they come from, it's the intention, not the words themselves. It's not the idea, it's the intention behind it. So if someone is intending to mislead, misrepresent, deceive, be deceitful, be manipulative, be somehow not in a positive place, regardless of what the point of view is, the antidote, it seems to me, is love.
Yes, mm-hmm. Always.
And so when we come here in an effort to make things make more sense, if there's something in your world that doesn't make sense and you're feeling like you're going to get crushed by the alternative facts, just remember this. Love will win. Because
always. It
will always mm-hmm. win. And so when you pull the lover's card,
that's what you mm-hmm. got.
What yes. it means is anyone coming with the good intention of the light and the love to help, and everything we do in every minute of each of these sessions here in our kitchen is done with light and love. Yes. What's that going to do?
Radiate to everyone else.
Exactly.
Grow.
Heal.
Ripple out.
What a great day. What a great reading. Thank you so much. The Vintage Oracle, your website?
TheVintageOracle.com.
Natural Awakenings is on every newsstand, and I'm going to remind you, have a great weekend. When you get home, hug your kids and count your blessings.